It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the end of the world. An understanding of the Bible's teaching of the resurrection of the dead reveals the true love of God for all men. Question for you, Ed. In discussing the end of the world with my neighbor after the recent earthquake reported in the newspapers, my neighbor said, "I hope it doesn't come in my day." So my question is this: should we fear the end of the world? What does the Bible teach concerning the end of the world? But first, let me tell our audience that this frank and earnest broadcast is heard internationally and brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. But now back to our discussion of the end of the world, Ed.
Russell, if the end of the world is to be doomsday, the viewpoint of your neighbor would engender fear.
But the end of the world is the end of the world, isn't it?
Quite so. But the end of the world as prophesied in the Bible is quite different from the traditional end of the world, which you evidently have in mind. There was a time, you know, when everybody thought that the earth was flat. But this didn't make it so. Nor does the traditional doomsday conception, end of the world, prove anything.
Oh, of course, I realize that. But isn't the earth to be destroyed when the world comes to an end? How about that?
No, to the contrary, Russell. The Bible teaches the earth abideth forever. And Jesus said, you remember, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And he said that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. This promise would be worthless if the earth were to be destroyed.
Yes, I know you have a good point there. So you believe that the Bible really teaches that the earth will continue to exist forever.
Yes, I do. And Russell, the Bible reveals that this is so because God created the earth to be an everlasting home for man.
But Ed, are you forgetting that man sinned and thereby forfeited his right to the home which the Lord originally created for him? Everyone has to die and go to heaven or to some other place.
Do you mean that man's sin, while it prevents him from remaining on the earth, makes it possible for him to go to heaven, or as you say, to some other place?
And I'm simply trying to present the matter as it has been told to me.
Well, the biblical explanation is not that way. It shows that what Adam lost was an earthly paradise and the privilege of living in that paradise forever. The Bible also reveals that mankind is to be given an opportunity to regain that lost earthly home. This has been made possible by virtue of the fact that Jesus Christ provided release from death for all mankind by his own death as the Redeemer. The Apostle Paul explains this point, saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 and 3, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive."
But Ed, didn't Jesus die to provide us an opportunity to go to heaven? Jesus said that he was going away to prepare a place for us.
That promise is not made to all, but only to Christians. A special heavenly reward is promised for these. Restoring the rest of the human race to life on the earth is the great objective of the divine plan for the future. Jesus' death as the Redeemer is what makes this restoration possible. The thousand-year period during which Christ and His church will reign is the time when mankind will be restored to life on the earth, and Jesus' true followers will then be reigning with Christ. Paul says that then the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Well, naturally, we're interested in that. When will that work begin?
Well, it follows the second coming of Christ. It is for this purpose that He returns, that is, to set up His righteous government on the earth.
But, Ed, are there not many prophecies in the Bible which indicate that the world comes to an end as a result of Christ's return?
It is true, Russell, that the Bible does associate the end of the world with the second coming of Christ. But, as we saw in the beginning, the end of the world, as taught in the Bible, does not imply the destruction of the earth, but merely the end of a social order. That a work of restoration rather than destruction is the purpose of Christ's return is clearly shown in the many prophecies of the Bible, which, of course, is a much happier outlook. And this work of restoration, or restitution, has been foretold by God's holy prophets. If the earth were to be destroyed, then there could be no restitution of man's perfect Edenic home, and that would mean that God's prophets were not true prophets, but false prophets.
And yet, Ed, as you admitted, the Bible does prophesy the end of the world.
That's quite true, Russell. But the biblical end of the world is quite different from the traditional doomsday idea. The word world in the Bible is translated either from the Greek word aeon, which means age, or else the Greek word cosmos, which means order or arrangement. The world which comes to an end as a result of Christ's return is described by the Apostle Paul as the present evil world, characterized by sin, selfishness, war, oppression, sickness, and death.
Not the destruction of the earth, but the destruction of our social world. That is a stupendous thought. In fact, if that is what it means, I am willing to pray for such a world to come to an end.
Russell, that is just what we do pray for when we offer the prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This will mean the end of a lot of undesirable conditions.
Yes, that is very true, Ed. But is there any reason to believe that our prayers for Christ's kingdom are soon to be or ever will be answered, and that God's will be done here in earth as it is in heaven?
Yes, Russell, there's every reason to believe that this social order, this world, will come to an end, and that the kingdom for which we pray will soon manifest itself for the blessing of all people. In the little book, God and Reason, there's a chapter dealing with what is often referred to as the signs of the times, and attention is called to many Bible prophecies which are being fulfilled now by conditions which immediately precede the establishment of Christ's kingdom in the earth.
Thank you, Ed, for that explanation. But there are many who say that world conditions now are not much different from what they have always been, and that even today history is merely repeating itself.
I realize that's quite a common viewpoint, but there are many things happening in the world today of which there's no parallel in history. The great increase of knowledge during the last century is outstanding.
And I had in mind particularly such things as wars and revolutions and the various economic disturbances that are constantly recurring.
And very well, the prophet Daniel foretold that this increase of knowledge and associated with it what he said would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And certainly the rapid increase in speed of travel has brought the nations in closer touch with each other and made world wars possible.
As Sir Isaac Newton studied this prophecy of Daniel, as I remember it, and he concluded that the time would come when people would run to and fro as fast as 50 miles an hour, which was an incredible speed in his day, And Voltaire, the noted French infidel, who was his contemporary, made light of Newton's forecast. Voltaire said that it could never be done.
That is right, he did say that. And since the Bible associates these events with the end of the world or man's social order, and with the setting up of this kingdom of Christ on earth, we can now pray for that kingdom with the full assurance that our prayers will indeed soon be answered, that peace and happiness will soon prevail everywhere. And this subject is thoroughly discussed in the little book, God and Reason. And please, Russell, will you tell our listeners how they can get a copy free?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. The little book, God and Reason, presents the promises and prophecies of the Bible from the standpoint of reason. The hearts of the people are fearful as they look ahead. We know that. Is there a way out? The promises of God assure us that there is. God and Reason answers such questions as, what is the end of the world? How do we know that Christianity has not failed? And many others. So send now for God and Reason. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for God and Reason, and it will be sent to you free through the mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. This program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Ask your friends to listen, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.